It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Nahum, we are continuing our teaching series on the book of Nahum, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of Nahum, written between 663 BC and 612 BC. The book of Nahum, written by the prophet Nahum, which means comfort, consolation. It means to console. And the prophet Nahum comforted, consoled, and brought consolation to the tribe of Judah in the south and the remnants of the nation of Israel that remained after its captivity in the northern kingdom. This comfort is particularly directed toward God's vengeance and divine justice towards the Assyrian Empire, particularly the capital of Nineveh. The Assyrian Empire, the Ninevites, brought terror, cruelty, oppression for centuries to the nation of Israel, and now God is bringing comfort in the form of his divine justice and judgment by the words of Nahum. The book of Nahum was written approximately 100 years after the prophecy of Jonah. As a result, the book of Nahum is often called Jonah Part 2. This is because Jonah preached to the Ninevites to repent, or destruction was coming their way. And the Ninevites, the capital of Assyria, the oppressors of Israel, repented, and God spared them for the next generation. However, after that generation, the Assyrian Empire went back to its cruel, inhumane ways, and as a result, judgment was coming by the mouth of Nahum the prophet. This teaches us that it is not enough to start the road and journey with the Lord, but to be faithful and finish that particular journey. We see this example in the city of Ephesus, how Paul the apostle founded the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 19. In the mid-50s A.D., Paul continued and wrote an epistle to the Ephesians, who were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in 64 A.D. However, in the mid-90s A.D., approximately 35-some-odd years after their conversion, Jesus Christ, in chapter 2, tells the Ephesian church to repent or be judged. This teaches us, just like the city of Nineveh, that they started out on the journey through repentance, believing in the Lord, but after a generation, they turned back to their ways and were under the thumb of potential judgment. We must be faithful to the end, and we must also pass on the goodness of the Lord to the next generation. For if we do not pass on God's goodness and salvation through Jesus Christ to the next generation, then the next generation individuals or the next generation empires or nations that are trusting in the Lord will turn away from the Lord if we don't pass it on. And they too will turn away as Nineveh and as Ephesus did in the scriptures. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. Scripture teaches, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This book of Nahum is a prophecy of judgment against the capital Nineveh of the Assyrian Empire. This Assyrian Empire came to power approximately 1900 BC in northern Mesopotamia. After a brief rise in power, the Babylonians took control for several centuries. After the Babylonian Empire fell in the mid-1300s BC and stayed in power as the world dominant empire until approximately 612 BC. This Assyrian Empire was being judged for its inhumanity. The Assyrian Empire was cruel. It was ravenous and dealt with plunder, drunkenness, and violence. This Assyrian Empire would pile heaps of skulls in the city of its captors. This Assyrian Empire would impale its defeated enemies on stakes. This Assyrian Empire was known for its cruelty. This is the Assyrian Empire, as outlined as one of the historical world empires, as listed in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, and the book of Revelation chapter 17. This Assyrian Empire rose to great power, dominating the sea, trade, and commerce. It was known for its grandeur and invulnerability, and as a result, was very prideful and arrogant. The capital of Nineveh was the size of modern-day London, known for its great towers, hundreds of feet high and hundreds of feet wide, where at least three chariots can ride on the towers side by side. This Assyrian Empire for centuries dominated the Fertile Crescent and the known world and were oppressors to the nation of Israel, taking them into captivity approximately 721 BC, according to 2 Kings chapters 17 and 18. By King Shalmaneser. At that time, the northern tribes of Israel, taken into captivity, left just Judah, Benjamin, and several remnants from the northern kingdom alone and vulnerable to further domination. This is the teaching on the book of Nahum, chapter 2. Part 1, verses 1 through 2. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. For the Lord has turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. Here in verse number 1, we see that the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, and the Scythians are coming to destroy Nineveh. As it says, he that dasheth in pieces is come before thy face. This is the mixed armies under the kingships of Nabopolassar and Cyaxares destroying Nineveh in 612 AD. God uses nations to chasten and judge other nations. God used the nation of Egypt to chasten the nation of Israel when the nation of Israel fell into sin. God used the Babylonian Empire to chasten Israel when Israel fell into idolatry. And when Israel further fell into sin, God used the Assyrian Empire. And these empires fell to other empires when they would not see the light that Israel was showing them in the Lord. The Assyrian Empire fell to the Babylonian Empire, and the Babylonian Empire fell to the Greek Empire, and the Greek Empire fell to the Roman Empire. God, as the ruler of the nations, uses nations to chastise and judge other nations. Verse 1 also is a taunt, a facetious taunt, to get ready and make thy munitions and way strong. A facetious taunt, because it is futile for those of Nineveh to protect themselves, because the Babylonians, the Medes, and the Scythians are coming to destroy them, and it is utterly futile to protect themselves. Verse 2 speaks to the end of the Assyrian Empire and the restoration of Israel and Judah. Israel representing the northern kingdom and Judah representing the southern kingdom. Verse 2 speaks of a contrast as the emptiers, meaning the enemy, the destruction of Assyria, and the restoration of Israel and Judah. Verse 2 speaks about the vine branches, once again representing the nation of Israel, as depicted in Psalm 80 and Isaiah chapter 5. God's promise to restore the nation of Israel is ongoing as we speak and will come to fruition in the millennial reign of Christ, the thousand-year reign of Christ, as spoken in the book of Revelation. God is a God of restoration. After the chastisement that nations, or after the chastisement that we as a people of God go through, God restores the nation and restores us. As spoken in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, after the chastisement of the pig pen, hitting rock bottom in his life, God restored him as he repented and came home to the Father. The Father restored him with shoes on his feet, symbolizing that he was no longer a slave, a robe on his back, symbolizing that he would be taken care of by the Father, and a ring on his finger, symbolizing that he has his inheritance back from the Father. God is a God of restoration, and God desires to restore his people. Verses 3 through 6. The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like lightnings. He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. Here in verses 3 through 6, we see a picture of judgment and a battle in the streets. This is not a picture of modern-day automobile interpretation, as some may try to insert in this scripture, but this is a battle of judgment of the armies in the streets. Verse 3 speaks of the color red and scarlet. The Assyrian Empire is known for its red and scarlet colors, as spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 14, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. The color red symbolizes blood. To intimidate the other armies, the Assyrians would dip their robes, dip their shields, and color their battle gear with blood to intimidate and to strike fear in the opposing armies. This is similar to Acts chapter 12, verses 21 through 23, where King Herod performed a speech, and scripture teaches they thought it was the voice of a god. This is not just because of his speech, but because at the time he was wearing a mirrored all-metal robe, which in the bright sunlight would reflect a blinding color on the audience, and the audience would think that there was some type of divine anointing and shine and brightness about him, and it would give the aura that he was some type of god. It would intimidate the audience and strike fear in the audience. Same thing with the vestments and the battle gear dipped in blood by the Assyrians. Verse 4 speaks of the battle in the streets, and verse number 5 speaks of the Assyrians going to the walls for the defense, and verse 6 gives a picture that confirms how the Assyrian army was destroyed as a great flood overflowed the banks of the Tigris River, and the gates, the walls that were supposed to be so impregnable, came tumbling down, and the opposing armies were able to enter the city and destroy the Assyrians. The Assyrian nation trusted and depended on their impregnable walls, hundreds of feet high, and thought that they had no way of coming down, as a result, thinking they were invincible against any army on the planet. Yet, through supernatural intervention, this particular flood caused these walls to come tumbling down. Individuals today have walls in their own life that they are trusting in, and through pride think that they are invincible and unaccountable to God's judgment. Individuals trusting in the walls of their bank account. Individuals trusting in the walls of their status and social standing, their intelligence, who they know and who they don't know. Individuals trusting in the walls of their church attendance or their titles. And one day, unless they humble themselves and follow the Lord, those invincible walls that they are trusting in for their own righteousness and safety will come tumbling down. This is the teaching on the book of Nahum, chapter 2, part 1. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to bow your head and pray this prayer with me today. This prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you pray this prayer with me today? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.